Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you that we can have life in you. We're not yet to be religious, and Lord, we're not yet to be perfect tonight. We're yet to meet with our Creator, with the lover of our soul, with the beginning and the end of our lives. So Jesus, we just welcome you here. We thank you for the cross, Holy Spirit, Father. I pray tonight, Lord, that there'll be such a fragrance of Jesus in this place, that when we walk out here, when we walk into this week, we'll smell like you. We'll taste you. We'll see you. So Lord, lift up the veils and Lord, quiet our souls tonight so that we can only hear your voice. Lord, I sense there's some people that are tired here, Lord. Some that are desperate, some that are discouraged. Some that have got like bags of cement on our shoulders. And Lord, we're even too tired to take it off. But I pray, Jesus, that you walk the aisles and you'll come to touch everyone in a special way tonight. Lord, because you want to, I know that. And thank you for your word that never returns void to you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. I'm going to just close the doors there at the back, Donnie, because we'll be finished at about 12:30 tonight. Okay? I just come here once every 2 years or once a year. So I'm going to give you 10 sermons in one. No. I'm actually not going to give you 10 points, you know? Sometimes we come to church and we want to live better lives. We want to live good lives, or we want to have some instruction. And especially when you come out of a little bit of a Calvinistic background or a Western way of thinking, we many times into performance. And so what do? We always try to better our lives. We try to live as greater Christians, as nicer. We want to be good. We want to please God. How many of you want to please God? Okay, just lift up your hands very high. Let me see. There's some people that sort of got off masses. They don't know. But we'll pray for you afterwards. Okay. But the amazing thing is, when we get into a little set of rules or get into a rule book with God, then what many times happens is we start to take the place of actually being God in our lives. We sort of try to say, well, I'm going to try harder. And the more I try, the better Christian I'm going to become. The more God is going to love me, the more, you know. And then we sort of, it's almost like a cycle when you grow up at school and you, you know, want to play for the first team rugby or you want to do stuff. Then everybody psychs you up and you psych yourself up. And you're always like focusing and you're focusing harder. You want to be better. You want to be the greatest. And yet when it comes to the things of God, God is not looking for your goodness. God is not looking for my perfection, because God does not expect us to be spiritually perfect or to be perfect in any other way, because we're not. We're human. Otherwise, we would have been God. Would you agree with me? So I'm going to read us a story, and I'm going to read it through. I'm going to talk about the good, the bad, and the righteous tonight. Okay, the good, the bad, and the righteous. And you must classify yourself in which category you place yourself. And I'm going to read you a story, and most of us have read the story. And what we normally do is we focus on one person in the story, but there's actually two people. And like with the prodigal son, I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. We sometimes just focus on the one. We focus on the bad. But I'm also going to focus a little bit on the good people here tonight. Okay, because there's lots of good people here. And let's go for it. Are you with me? Hello? Somebody out there at the back? Hello, okay. And Luke chapter 7, verse 36. We're going to start there, verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house. The Pharisee's a learned guy, a theologian of the day, and that's Jesus, and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Now, we come here to a place. Jesus has been walking around, and there's this Pharisee, this learned guy, invites Jesus to come to his house. We all know the story. So yes, Jesus comes, and in every good Jewish house, especially if you're a learned guy or a sort of a upper class type of person like this Pharisee, sort of a noble type of person, what would happen is you'd have an inner house and you'd have an outer court. And in the outer court, what would happen, you would invite somebody and you would sit in this outer space or this place. And then anybody who would want to come could come into this outer place and they could come and sort of listen to what you want to say, because you would like talk stuff and you would like share stuff of your heart, and anybody could sort of come and tap in. You know, it's almost like Facebook. How many of you are on Facebook? Oh, my God. I joined Facebook like 3 weeks ago, and I don't know how people get time for that. But in any case, now everybody's like on each other's walls, you know, and all over the place. I'm still trying to figure out how it works. But it's amazing, you know, people are just like, these days, people don't communicate with each other, but you're on their Facebook and you sort of get into their stuff and you know what they've eaten for breakfast and what they, you know, when they didn't brush their teeth in the last 5 days, like some of the students normally do, you know, or bath for 6 weeks because you've been writing exams. But, you know all of that stuff and you love to share that, you know, and now I'm completely off the point because now everybody's thinking, what did I write on my Facebook page? But in any case, you could actually like come in and have a Facebook thing with the person that was invited. And so everybody, the whole crowd would stand outside, and now Jesus and this Pharisee, they were going to have a little bit of a conversation. And everybody could tap into their brains and sort of learn a little bit from this rabbi and this Pharisee and whatever. So it's a good opportunity to learn. But now in this process, as they're standing outside, here comes this woman. And scripture says this woman, a certain woman of the city, and it's sort of in the brackets there, it says, who was a sinner. This woman who was a sinner when she knew that Jesus. Now, you know, she was a renowned sinner because she was a prostitute. She was a lady of the night. And so everybody knew that this lady was sort of labeled. Do you know how the world puts labels on us? Do you know how easy we put labels on each other? It's so easy, you know, sometimes even in our own relationship with God, we come into a certain perception or we think, well, God doesn't actually like me. God likes pity around the corner more than what he likes me. So you actually, what you begin to do is you put a label, you put yourself in a little box. And we as humans, we love to do this. So here's a typical woman, a bad woman, and she's been placed in a box because even the writer here, Luke, who's a very, you know, was a historian, so he was a very good guy at writing the facts. He said, this woman was a sinner. Everybody knew that she was a sinner. Say, a sinner. Okay, any other sinners in the house? Lots of half masses here again. Yeah. Some are like two hands, okay? I wanted to raise two hands as well. There. Okay, so she was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. So here this woman comes. She comes from behind Jesus. And she does something which is a bit challenging for the whole crowd there. Because probably some people write that says that this, what she did was a bit of rituals that you would do, sexual rituals. But it wasn't that. But what she does is she actually comes from behind Jesus. He's sitting and she takes her hair and with the tears, she wipes his feet. She actually goes down and she begins to weep. Probably uncontrollably. But she doesn't care about the people around her, what's happening around her. And she takes that oil. The New King James says an alabaster flask. But it wasn't actually that. Most of the best translation is actually what they call a vial. It's a little thing that hangs around the neck with a little, sort of a small little thing, pot, yeah, that she would take and break. Because this oil was very expensive. And this oil that she took to wash Jesus' feet with, or to anoint his feet and his head with, was basically about a year's wages. So just imagine, we ask you tonight to come and bring an offering to Jesus, and we say, bring a year's wages to Jesus. Whoa. Most of us would say, well, Jesus, I owe too much, I can't even bring you a year's of wages, you know. Or we would say, well, that's a little bit of a tall order, you know. So, but this wasn't an offering service or a tithe service. This was just she just came spontaneously. And yeah, through what she did wrongly, or this bad woman, what she did, she came to anoint his feet. And she came to wash with her hair. She came to wash his feet. So this beautiful picture of a broken woman coming to Jesus and having this intense, intimate moment with him. She doesn't care what the people around her says, but she just says, well, she just heard Jesus, yeah. So she's gonna wash his feet. And if you knew a bit of the Jewish culture, especially ladies, Jewish ladies would never loosen their hair. That was like the no-no. Especially when you got married, your hair was always tied. So that was like the ultimate of also, you know, disrespect. And yet Jesus allowed all of this, and Jesus felt very comfortable with this. Now imagine, I just want us to think in the modern day context. Imagine we're worshipping Jesus here tonight. And a lady like that, that we all know, that, you know, a prostitute would come in here and she would start to worship Jesus here on the stage in front. Almost half naked because of whatever. They don't wear lots of clothes normally, but in any case, she would like fall prostrate here in front and she would like do stuff here that would freak all of us out. And we would think, well, Jesus, that's not, you know, this is not really the place because this is church. We should be holy in church. Yeah. Because it's easy for us to read this story unless we put ourselves in the socks. Now, yeah, here comes a place in verse 39 where this Pharisee, he begins to react. And he says, now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. So the Pharisee doesn't say it, but he thinks. He says, he's probably standing there and he's thinking, yeah. Oh, you know, if this man was spiritual enough, he would have discerned, prophetically discerned, what's happening here and who this woman is. Now I want us to think in our own minds, how many times do we do exactly the same? When we see people out there as Christians, and we don't say it, we don't dare say it, but we think that other people, or sometimes ourselves, are not worthy of Jesus. Because we think, oh, my chuna, you know, if they just knew Jesus, you know, Jesus, call down your lightning, strike, shake the building, you know. Sometimes we want to call judge, and this. So this guy standing here, he's actually coming to a place of judgment, and he's saying, if Jesus, this rabbi, this spiritual man, if he was spiritual enough, then he would have known what is happening here. Now, what happens is, Jesus answered and said to him, verse 40, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. I love Jesus, you know. When he approaches us, he doesn't come like with thunderbolts. He just probably looks up at Simon, this Pharisee, and he says to him, I've got something to say to you. Simon, can I say something to you? Many times when God comes to us, he asks us questions. Like deep questions. Did you know that? Doesn't have just a yes or no answer, but he wants to draw something out of our hearts. Because you know how God is interested in your heart. So he says, Simon, I want to say something to you. Simon, I'm not going to break down the door to your heart. I'm not going to, you know, judge you, Simon. Because you actually need judgment in the way that you have judged now. But Simon, I just want to say something to you. And now he says, teacher, say it. Bring it on. Come on. Let's have this one. We're going to have a nice discussion now because we were probably going to talk about spiritual things. We're going to get a lot spiritual. But now stuff are very exciting here. Because this woman has come in and you don't have a clue what has been happening here. So, Jesus, bring it on. Come on. You know, we're going to have a little bit of a discussion. And now he starts and he says, Jesus answered and said to him, oh, verse 41, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. So, I'm sort of interrupting. Is that all right? So, Jesus comes and he talks a little bit. He sort of sketches a scenario. He says, look here, there are two creditors and there's one guy, two people owe him money, and the one owes a lot, and the other one owes a little. And the one in our terms today is like 2 months of wages, and the other one is 2 years of wages. So imagine we say, well, you owe me 2 months of wages, and you owe me 2 years of wages, two people, and I say, I forgive you. You can go. Who's going to be more grateful? The one with 2 years. Would you all agree? Hello? Hello? Okay. We'll all agree on that. The one with 2 years. The only problem is, if you don't have anything, then you know 2 months of wages and 2 years of wages is just the stuff. Did you know that? Especially if you don't have a job. So, Jesus isn't like just contrasting two people. He wants to bring something home to this man. He says, if you've got nothing, then 10 rand is a lot. How many of you have been in a place in your life where you've got absolutely nothing? Then you think, my khuna, you know. Whether I trust God for 10,000 bucks here or $1 million, it's the same because nothing is nothing. Did you know that? You know, it means you've got nothing. So trusting God then is sort of just a perception as to, well, God, I've got nothing. And so here, these two people, it's like when we talk about sin, let's talk a little bit about sin. Sometimes we're afraid to talk about sin, but how many of you have told a white lie in this last month in your life? Raise your hand. Very high. Just raise it very, very high. Okay. How many of you told a lie in this last month? Lots of people. Okay. How many of you have murdered somebody this last month? Now, what do you do here in Pretoria? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Scripture says even if we think, you know, lustfully after a lady or a man, you know, we're adulterers. So really, in scriptural context, there isn't a difference between one sin and another. Would you agree? So Jesus is actually bringing very close to home to this man and saying, well, it's not about really that I'm forgiving the one much more. It's not about the forgiving. It's just really simply about the one that's on the receiving end of the forgiveness. Would you agree? So it's about the ability to receive, not about the greatness of the forgiveness, because the forgiveness is the same, because we're all sinners, like this woman, like this good person. So the challenge is how can you receive that which God has for you? And especially if you come out of a context of trying to be good and trying to do nice stuff for God, then it's very difficult for you sometimes to receive. Why? Because you're always going to think that you want to outgive the person or you want to outgive God for the things that He has given to you. And then if we're in that mode, we miss God completely. And you can just be very practical. Say, for instance, somebody gives you a present that you don't deserve or it's not your birthday. I want you to think, what is your first reaction? If it is like, I wonder if this is a bribe. That's probably what you do more here in Pretoria or what in Joburg, okay? I wonder what this guy is thinking or what he wants to buy with this thing. If somebody gives you a gift that you did not earn, what is your first reaction? Is it like, okay, I must do something back. What am I going to give this person so that I can outgive him so that I don't owe him anything or her anything? Now, that is many times our mentality, and especially when it comes to God. Are you still with me? Shake somebody next to you and say, we're going somewhere, we're just busy with the introduction. Okay, so I'm just slowly going through the story because I want to sort of challenge us somewhere deep in our hearts when we come to God. There's just one very simple thing that I want to come to at the end. But you know, what happens here is this man comes and he comes to a place of judgment over this woman. Then Jesus tells him a little story and Jesus makes him judge. Jesus makes him come to another place of judgment where he says, well, the one who's going to love back, the one who's going to have the greatest capacity, isn't about the forgiveness like we saw now, but it's about the one that can receive, the ability to receive from God. Because the one who receives then more, it's not like the one really receives more than the other, the one with the 2 years or the two months, because it's the same if you have nothing. But just how you receive what God wants to give, that's going to be determine how you're going to be able to give back to Him. Because we love Him only because He first loved us. That's what Scripture says. Are you with me? The same in the world. When we want to go out into the world, want to love the world, we can only give what we have received from God. Hello? So Jesus told them that little story. So here we go on verse 43 again. Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water. But so Jesus asked another question. Okay, so Jesus loves asking questions. Sometimes it seems like a very stupid question, but it's not when you read Scripture correctly. So here this woman is lying there. She's just been loosening her hair. She's been giving of herself to Jesus in a capacity that made everybody there feel like uncomfortable. And now Jesus, at the end of this judgment and of this man, Simon, bringing a judgment, he says to her, he asked him a question. He says, do you see this woman? Now Jesus, why would you ask that? All of us can see this woman. We've been looking at her all the time and we've been thinking lots of stuff. But Jesus doesn't say, do you see her physically? Because the problem in his heart, in Simon's heart, was the fact that he didn't see the woman. He saw the sin. And he judged the sin. So Jesus asked, and he would come to us many times, he says, do you see the woman? Do you see her? Because if you are going to see her, I'm going to release something in your heart that's going to change our relationship. And now he comes back to Simon, and now he confronts something in Simon's life. Listen to this. Okay, we've all read the story. I'm just going through very slowly. He turned to the woman and said to Simon. So he looked at the woman and then he looked to Simon. And he said, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this? We even forgive sins. Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So now, after Jesus asked him, said, do you see this woman? He probably nodded his head and said, yes, I see this woman. Now Jesus comes to confront. He says to Simon, Simon, do you know what? When I came in at the door, you did not wash my feet. Because you know what? The ritual or the religious thing to do for a Pharisee was very simple. If somebody important came to your house, you would do three things. The first thing that you would do is you would wash their feet, because either their feet was dirty or it was very hot and you wanted their feet to cool off. So it was just a respectable thing to do. You wanted to show respect. And then you would kiss the person, preferably if you were there, just kiss them on the cheek or here on the head and just bless them and welcome them, especially if it was somebody important that came into your house. Then you would take some fragrant oil and you'll put it on his head and you'll sort of anoint it so that the person's coming in would bring a fragrance. And you would say, I celebrate you. I understand who you are. You're a special person coming into my house. And I celebrate you. I don't just serve your feet. I don't just kiss you to welcome you, to have respect you. But I also celebrate who you are. And now Jesus comes to Simon. He says, Simon, the problem is, you are a good Pharisee. You know all the rules and you know all the regulations. And you didn't do one of those three things when I came into your house. So now suddenly, we've got a massive problem if we understand Jewish culture. Because this Simon was very disrespectful towards Jesus. If Jesus was a discerning person, or if Jesus would have been going by the law, he would have turned around at the door and left that house. Because he was treated with the most disrespect that any Jewish man could probably do, especially if you're a rabbi, a teacher. So this woman comes in, she washes Jesus' feet, she does all this beautiful stuff, and right at the end of the story, Jesus confronts Simon and says, Simon, that which you were supposed to do at the door, you didn't even do. So Simon, who much has been forgiven, those will love much. You see, and there are so many stories like this that we read completely wrongly, because we focus on the bad person in this story. I must tell you, I've read this story probably 300 times. And then every time I think, wow, look at this woman. Wonderful, with the fragrant oil. Jesus forgave her so much. But the story isn't really about the woman. The story is about the Pharisee. The same with the prodigal son. You can read the story of the prodigal son. We always think of the son that ran away. And he ate with the pigs and came back and he wanted to serve his dad. And his dad ran out and he came to fetch him and said, I'm going to give you a new ring. I'm going to give you a new robe. I'm going to give you new shoes. Spoke of authority and identity, place of celebration. But the prodigal son isn't really about the story of the prodigal son that ran away. The prodigal son is actually about the son that stayed home. And there was a massive problem because there's a guy called Keller that wrote a book on this. Awesome, because he understands. He says the greatest disrespect that was shown was the older brother when the father threw a celebration with the younger son that came back, the prodigal son, like we always read it. The older son stayed outside and he said, I don't want to be part of this because this man is filthy. He's bad. I'm good. So now the most disrespectful thing towards the father was the fact that that older son stayed outside and did not come in to celebrate when the father had a celebration or a festival. Doesn't matter what it was for. Because of celebration and festivity, that was very important because the whole community would be there. It's almost like you, your dad or your mom dies and you say, well, I don't want to go to their funeral. I don't care. That would be quite disrespectful. Would you agree with me? Now, the same with the prodigal son and more with this story that we read. And yet, there's a beautiful redemptive purpose in it all. Because I want to challenge each one of us with a very simple thing tonight when we think of this story. And when we think of our coming to God. I've got very good news for us. And that is that it doesn't matter in what category you are. Whether you see yourself as a person full of labels, as a bad person, not worthy of God. Or more than that, a good person trying to earn the favor of God or striving or performing, trying to connect with God, God will come to visit you. Because with this Pharisee, the beautiful thing of this Pharisee is the fact that Jesus did not turn around at the door and walk out. He stayed. And he gave enough opportunity for Simon the Pharisee to turn around. Because he wanted to teach all of the Pharisees, say, I love you, I care about you, but you know what? Your goodness cannot amount to anything when it comes to my holiness and my standards. And the moment when you realize that in your life, some of us are going to start to breathe out and start to live. Because we're not going to be like trying to be perfect when we come around and try to be around God. Because we try that, we sometimes, especially as charismatics, you know what we do? We try to be super spiritual around God. We try to impress God, and then we also try to impress each other by being more spiritual, or by praying more, or by fasting more, or by doing more, or by going around the world more, like this Pharisee, and then yet we forget the very basics of greeting Jesus when he stands at the door. Hello? Are you with me tonight? And so the challenge there is very simply, is one of perfection. Who is perfect? And who are you trying to please? And how are you trying to please God? Because it's so amazing. This woman with all of her nakedness and vulnerability, she comes to God and she can wipe Jesus' feet. And for that moment, this beautiful moment she has with the lover of her soul, he just enjoys it. He says, I love it when you're vulnerable. I love it when you're weak. I love it when you're not in control. I love it when you're not trying to tell me what to do, you know. Sometimes when you pray to God, you know. I'm guilty of this many times. So I'm not trying to speak down. You know, I'm preaching at myself tonight, okay? We come to God and we must listen to how we pray. Oh Lord, thank you that we are here tonight. We are gathered in the church tonight. And we thank you that we can be together tonight. And we thank you, Lord, there are lots of us here tonight. We have come to worship you. We bless you, Lord, that we can be part of church. And we thank you, Lord, that you are good to us. And Lord, have you noticed how good I look tonight? Have you noticed, Lord, that there are some amazing people here tonight, Lord? Now, so what we do in our prayer is we tell God as if He has not noticed. Have you noticed? Huh? we've got this type of way of approaching God where we sort of tell God what's happening as if God doesn't know what's happening at the moment. Huh? So many times, you know, two guys that came up to pray. The one said, oh Lord, have you noticed? I have paid my tithes. I've done this and I've done this and I've prayed so many times. I've fasted so many times. And the other sinner just comes to stand there and says, Lord, I'm a sinner. and I'm here. Thank you that you're here. Amen. What a difference. The one tries to be good, tries to impress God, and tries to impress the people around. But you know how tired that makes you? If you go through all of the rituals, you try your best, and then you come every time and you hit the brick wall because you're trying in your own strength. And yet the other sinner who just comes to wash Jesus' feet or runs back to the Father's house like the prodigal son just says, well, I just want to be here. God, you be God, and I'm the sinner. Wukamaduda. Yeah. Some of you must thank God for the fact that you're a sinner and that you're not perfect. Because you know what? You're going to start to live and God can then be God in our lives. It's as simple as that. But you know how profound it is if we start to grasp the fact of how much God loves us. And we must stop trying, stop striving, stop being somebody that we're not. Just be yourself. Say, God, I'm here, and you know what? I don't get anything out of my quiet time. I've been sitting for the last 2 weeks, Lord, and I've been reading, Lord, Ezekiel, but Lord, all I know is the dry bones. Lord, I've prophesied over the dry bones, and there's nothing, Lord. I just want biltong, and now you talk about dry bones all the time. So, Lord, and then there's these prophetic people, and bless their heart, Lord, I don't understand them. You know? They see angels and all of that stuff, and all I see is my next lunch that I'm going to get, you know, whatever. And you know what? There are the prophetic people, there are the discerning people, there are people that have seen 30 angels going around here, and the Lord bless you, because we need you as a church. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? We shouldn't try all to be see angels all the time. Because some of us must do other stuff. Okay? And it's so important that when we come to God, you know what? How God sees you is God celebrates you for who you are, but God loves it when you're weak before Him and when you're vulnerable. I want to read us a story because I'm talking about three groups here, and I trust that all of us will just make a little shift tonight to the third one. Because like I said, whether you're in the good category or whether you feel tonight that you feel maybe bad about stuff that you've done. Maybe you've done abortions. Maybe you've slept around. Maybe you've messed up your life. Maybe you're an alcoholic here tonight. Do you know what? Jesus places value and worth on your life. Same for the good person. Jesus wants you to intimately experience Him. But not through your and my regulations and my rules and my trying. It only comes through a place of surrender. When there's a deep place in our hearts that we give to Him. And there's only one that you must allow in that deep place. Not even your wife or your children. There's a place that only God wants to occupy in your heart. At the center of your heart. Because do you know what? He will never hurt you. He will never violate you. He will never trample on you. And He will never forsake you. There's somebody here tonight. You're sitting at the back there. That are intensely lonely. And if you're really honest with yourself, I'm just interrupting, because I really feel this is from God. For somebody at the back there, you actually have been contemplating in the last 3 months to take your life. And you've told nobody. But I'm saying to you tonight that God knows. And He does not want you to be alone or lonely. Because He said, I will never leave you. Nor forsake you. It's a lady, and something happened to you when you were 13 years of age. Traumatic experience in your life, and you know what? God is going to set you free tonight. I don't know where you are. I know you're sitting at the back there somewhere. And God wants to speak to you, and He wants to turn our hearts around because He knows all of our fears. Did you know that? He knows everything about you. He knows, and you don't need to have a pretense when it comes to Him. And that's why the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, you can just flash it there on the screen. Ta-do. Verse 21. Listen to this. It says, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You see, when you and I begin to understand what it means to be righteous, to be a child of God, we have got the most amazing freedom to come to our daddy, to come to our father. But not with pretense, not with trying to be anybody, or trying to be anybody else. You come just as you are. And then you begin to understand that a massive exchange took place at the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus took our sins upon Himself so that we can become righteous before God. And righteousness is very simply means to be able to stand, to have a right relationship with God. To be able to stand before this almighty, perfect, holy, loving, omniscient, omnipresent, sovereign, full God that doesn't need anything. He doesn't need your prayers. He doesn't need my fasting. He doesn't need anything that we do, that we bring to Him. He doesn't need it because whatever we bring to Him can add no value or worth to Him. Yet He's decided to take of His own worth, of His own righteousness, and place it on you and I, so that we can stand before Him and say, wow. 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 And have a freedom to experience Him for who He really is. And you're not intimidated by His perfection. You're not intimidated by His holiness and by His standards. And you don't try to achieve that standards because you know the only way that you can get to that standard is through a righteousness, because you begin to understand as well that He sees you through the finished work of Christ. Whoa. God sees you as perfect through Jesus Christ. God sees you as holy through Jesus Christ. God sees you as if you've never committed that sin through Jesus Christ. And when you and I begin to understand that, there's such a freedom where God begins to loosen us from the stuff in our minds, those confusion and that stuff and the accusation and the condemnation and the shame and the guilt, because we always feel worthless, because we are always so bad, because we cannot, either we're really bad because the standards that we try to achieve is not good enough, because we cannot be good enough for God until we begin to realize, stop the bus. Hokai, stop the lorry. Hoe gaan hy song? Of is it the train? Hokai, stop the lorry. Okay, daai ene. Okay. Because there's a righteousness, there's a position in Christ. And it's a very simple thing, but you know what? That is what Jesus tried to show us through this picture. He says, if you understand how much you've been forgiven, you know, all you need to do is you need to receive. And that is the biggest problem with good Christians. The ability to receive God's love. The ability to receive God's righteousness. We've already received it, but it's like a massive treasure chest. And all we do is we dance around the treasure chest. We do all of our African dance. We do our spiritual warfare. Na 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 na. Open up, there's a treasure chest. Na 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 na. Then we go, Mom. And we say, have you seen the gold over the treasure chest? Have you seen my treasure chest? And we write books about the treasure chest, you know. And we say, you will be blessed in your treasure chest. But you know, all you need to do is just open up the treasure chest, get into the treasure chest, and drown in the treasure chest. Because it's full of living waters. Not gold. Gold is paving in heaven. Did you know that? So, the prosperity gospel, that's in any case. But so. But see, there's... I really want to tell us, because some of us, and I must tell you honestly, you know, for years, I've been in that place where you sort of, you're trying so hard, but you know you get tired. There was a place, you know, I was saved for 5 years, just out of school, when, and I was the good person, spirit-filled, baptized, really up there, seeing the angels. Seeing the miracles. You know. Deaf ears open up. You see all these massive stuff happen. And then it's almost like you hit like a rock bottom. You get a bit depressed. And now you're just like a good charismatic Christian. What you do is you go into denial. Because a spiritual Christian cannot be depressed. How can you be depressed? The only problem is You cannot wake up in the morning and you cannot get out of bed because it feels like this thing over you. And you don't have any hope for life. And you know, it carried on for a couple of months in my life. I would come home, I was married, I would sit there. And then I was in the ministry. I would sit. And I would just stare at the wall for 3 hours. And my wife Louise would come by later and says, "What are you thinking?" I said, "Nothing." But you know, it happens to good Christians. Good, charismatic, spiritful, go around the world, change everything for the Lord Christians. And then you start to live in denial because why? You don't want to get honest with God about where you're at. Huh? You want to impress other people. And you can't be because you're a pastor. What are the congregation going to say that you are suffering? But you know, depression isn't a nice thing when you're in it. And you can't describe to somebody else until you realize, you know, there's this thick, it's like a blanket, a wet blanket that weighs 10 tons that's all over you over your spirit, but you can't get it off. And you don't actually want to get it off. So you just hang in there. There's somebody with depression here that God wants to set free tonight. Because Jesus is here. And you know what? Jesus lifted that blanket, that 10-ton blanket from me. I didn't do anything. I didn't know how it changed. I just knew Jesus came and He changed. He saved me. He delivered me. But you know, it started when I was honest enough. And I opened up my heart. I love children. You know what? The other day, around about 5:15, my little boy, I was sleeping. And he's now, we just taught him to be on his own bed. Then he got from his bed. He walked to our room with his blankie and the 7 toys, his 7 idols. And he came to stand next to the bed on my side. Now, he's just tall enough for his face to be in my face when I sleep on the bed. So I'm fast asleep and he comes to stand right next into my face. His nose against my nose. So it's not nice when you wake up and there's this like breathing over your face. Like, yeah. You sort of, you open up and then there's like a face in your face, you know, you think, you close your eyes, you think he's in a nightmare. But then he said to me, "Daddy," his name is Josh. He said, "Daddy, I think Josh is hungry." Now you're lying there at 5:30 in the morning. So he always talks about the third person as if Josh is somebody in the other room, you know, and another brother that is going to appear soon or something, I don't know. Yeah. He says, "I think Josh is hungry." Yeah. But then as a dad, you know what? You just love moments like that. You don't care whether it's 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, 5:30 in the morning, because you just love the moment. Why? Because your son and your child has found the freedom to be honest and to come to you, walk all the way, just to be there, to stand next to your bed and say, "I think." I don't know whether I am actually hungry, but I think. I think this thing down here, he doesn't know it's a stomach, but something's down here is sending up some intense signs and impulses that it wants food. And I'm responding to that. What are you saying about it? You know? But I just love children. You know, they sort of, I could tell you lots of stories because they're always like in the moment, they're thinking, well, the whole world starts when they wake up, you know? When they are alive, everybody else, the whole world is, you know, around them. And you know, we just like that when it comes to our lives. Let's be honest. We're selfish, we're wicked, and you know what? We're human. And the moment when you and I start to open up our hearts and we be honest with God, that's when God loves it. Because then God can be God and He can start to change us. He can start to change our churches. He can start to change our environment. Why? Because we're vulnerable enough before Him. And that's what James chapter 4 verse 6 says so beautifully. If you want this righteousness, if you want to stand in this position, there's one place that you know that God will resist. There's one thing in our hearts that God does not like. And you know what? It's a very simple thing. It's called pride. Why? Because God will never override your will or the choices that you make. And when we have pride in our hearts, you know what? Then we exalt ourselves. or we lift up ourselves to a standard that God does not like. A standard of self-righteousness. And that is the big difference between the righteousness of Jesus and the self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is self-made, man-made. I am so good. Look at me because of what I have achieved. Look at what I have done. Look at what I have, you know, written, or what I, you know, I can do the prophetic dance 3 hours without stopping and without even having a quick breath, because my prophetic dance becomes apostolic after 3 hours and it becomes prophetic again after 5 hours, you know, because I am so good at my towing or whatever you do. Now I'm in the jacket. But you know what? I'm making a joke about it, but you know what? That is the only thing where God says He will resist you. The only place where God says, I will come to stand in front of you and I will stop the bus. I will not open up my heart to you if there's self-righteousness, if there's pride in your life. But you know, when you come humbly, honest, and you come to say to God every morning, Lord, here I am. I'm your child. Thank you that there's nothing in me that I can boast in. But thank you, one thing I know, that in the cross of Jesus Christ, I've become righteous. And I can stand here and I can worship you, Daddy. I can scream. I can shout. I can dance. I can do whatever. But God, I know it's going to change nothing about you. But what it is going to do, it's going to change me as I see you. Because then God releases His grace. Measures from heaven. Measures. Rivers of living waters. Then God begins to flood us. God begins to do stuff that we cannot even think of, Scripture says, or even above what we can imagine. Why? Because we're in a position to receive. But self-righteousness and pride makes you resist God, and then God resists you. Why? Because you cannot receive. The problem is with receiving from God. Because you try to do it in your own strength. And unfortunately, you know what? We get hurt in our families. We get hurt in the ways we grow up. And then what we do is we go into a survival mentality. Because once you've been hurt, do you know what is the first thing that you begin to do? Is you begin to say, well, I'm going to start to live a life where I am not going to get hurt again. So I'm going to be sure that I'm going to be strong enough or good enough in this position or in this area so that I never need to be vulnerable again to any person and be hurt by them. Self-righteousness, which leads to self-deception. And then God cannot heal. God cannot deliver. Why? Because we've actually blocked God up. And this is this big picture that God comes to show us through this man, Simon, and this woman. He says, it's not about my forgiveness. It's not about my ability to give to you. It's very simply about your ability to receive. Because this woman, Simon, do you see her? Look at this woman. She's come to receive. You think she's come to give, but she's come to receive from me. And that's what he ends off the story with. He says, woman, go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Your faith, your trusting in me has saved you. Go in peace. For the first time in your life, you're going to have peace, woman. You are healed. I'm going to give you something because you've come to receive. You've opened up your heart. Simon, Simon, wake up. Do you see the woman? Because Simon, I want to do the same in your life. Every Pharisee. I must repent because I've spoken so many times negative stuff about theologians. Many times I said, well, theologians can't get saved because they say whatever. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus went into the theologian's life, into the house. The theologian paid so much disrespect to him. And yet Jesus gave him that ability to respond. He didn't say to the theologian, oh, you this and you that. Later on he did. Later on he said, you brood of vipers, you whitewashed walls. Later on, Jesus confronted them. Why? Because they hardened their hearts already. They already came to a place of self-righteousness where they resisted Him in every way. But God always extends the hand. He says, I want to come to visit you. And I don't care what you're going to do. Just open up your heart. Because I want to show you my righteousness. I've given it to you on the cross. Very simple message. I'm just preaching the gospel at you tonight. But I believe God is going to set some of us free here because God wants to release His grace into your life. But you need to be humble and you need to say to God, just start by being honest. Say, God, I'm struggling to receive. Because I'm such a good person. I've never even sinned. I've never even thought a bad thought in my life. And I'm working very hard at it. But God, I realize I'm going to burn out by trying to be so good. Because then I look at the other person and I think, my Khuna Machantas, look at that one. God, how can you, you know? And let me tell you, in the days that we're going in, God is going to release His grace. We're going to see prostitutes. We're going to see people come in. And they're going to outrun us because they've received the grace of God. And then we can either stand in the place of judgment or we can also go to stand there and say, Jesus, Jesus, give me, bring it on. I've got lots of capacity. Look here, lots of capacity. Fill me. Bring it on, Jesus. Because you know, that's God's heart. He's got more than enough. For you and your neighbor and your neighbor and your neighbor and your neighbor and your neighbor's neighbor and your neighbor's niece and nephew and all that. Right along the family lines, up the tree, down the tree, across the tree, over the tree family lines. Amen? So the challenge is, will you open up your heart? Because do you know what? That same Jesus has come to visit this place tonight. And some people has the ability to receive and some don't. Because you're afraid to show God and to open up your heart. And all you need to do is just be honest. Just say, God, I'm afraid. Because I'm not sure who this person is that's living inside of this body anymore. I'm a bit confused. And Lord, I'm so afraid that maybe when you walk into my life, maybe I'm going to experience that rejection again. Maybe, God, I'm going to experience that fear again. Maybe, God, I'm going to be vulnerable again. But God, based on what I see on the cross, I'm going to take that risk. Because that's what faith is. It's just a risk. You're always going to take a risk. Lord, I'm going to risk again to open up my heart to you. Were you my all in all? Some of you have experienced that 5 years ago and 10 years ago or 3 years ago, but you've started to move into the regulations and the rules, but because you're trying to be so good. I've been there many years of my life. And you know what? It feels to me like I'm getting saved all over again. Because I'm just coming to God and I'm saying to God, God, you know all my filthiness. You all know all my wickedness. You know all the stuff that I've done wrong. You know all the stuff that I think, all of that stuff. But you know what, God, you're not intimidated, and neither am I. Because you know my weakness. But here I am. Forgive me. Save me. Heal me. Deliver me. Flood me. Drown me. So that I can be an instrument in your hand. So that you can start to use me out there. Will you stand with me tonight? I'm going to pray for some people while the band comes up. And you know what? Some of you are going on holiday. Don't run to the TV. Don't just veg in front of the TV the next 6 weeks. Just go into nature. Find yourself a little place somewhere, even if you have to drive a little bit or go out. And then you just go and sit in nature. And then what you do, don't try and pretend. Don't take your scripture and say, rescue me and deliver me from the hand of the foreigners, whose mouths speak lying words. Yes, Lord, these the Soccer World Cup, the foreigners that are coming here. I knew they're from the devil. They are broken in pieces from morning till evening. Yes, Lord, destroy the Mexicans that we're going to play against on Friday. Oh. Yes, that's a word from the Lord. Let's look for a nice, another word. You know, sometimes we get so spiritual because we just want those words. Bafana is somewhere down here, somewhere. You know? Just go out somewhere, find a quiet place, and then you just sit, then you look at the mountains again, and you look up at the sky, you say, wow, Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Lord, here I am. There's nothing I can give, nothing I can do, nothing I can change about myself. Because I've been trying to change myself too many times. I've tried to perform too many times, to be self-righteous, try to be perfect, all of that stuff. Lord, or maybe I've been so bad. I don't even know where to start. But God, I'm here. I'm starting right here. And Lord, we're starting here tonight. Because I thank you for hearts. And you can see into each one of our hearts as we're standing before you. And we want to acknowledge tonight our complete, utter nakedness before you. And yet, Lord, when we look at the cross, you hang naked there, Lord, so that we can be covered. All our shame, all our guilt, all our fear, all our condemnation. But we long for you tonight, Lord. We are desperate for you. We're not good, Lord. We have built our own thrones, sometimes even established our own kingdoms. We've become wise. Lord, there's even so much revelation. Every second book that we can buy has got a new revelation around the block. And yet, Lord, we as your church, we have built walls, high walls, Lord, to protect our hearts, but to keep you out. Tonight, we open up the doors of our hearts again. We open up the windows of our souls. We say, come, Lord Jesus, come. So, Lord, I'm going to pray again like I prayed right at the beginning, that you start to walk the aisles. Lord, some have got one fish to give tonight. Some have got their whole lives to give. We want to, before we give anything, we want to receive you, Jesus, into this place. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, there's some people here that cannot sleep at night. They're anxious, tired. They don't sleep properly, Lord, because they've lost your peace. Well, every eye is closed. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand quickly. I want to pray for you. If you cannot sleep properly at night, I'm going to just pray a simple prayer. Just raise your hand quickly. Just raise it high. Lots of people here. Lord, right now, as they're raising their hands, we say we cannot change anything, Jesus. We've been trying. Some have been drinking pills. Some have been going up there, going down there, Lord. But right now, Jesus, come as the Prince of Peace. Come, Jesus. We need you. Help. Help us, Lord. We're in need of a healer. We're in need of a Savior tonight. Bring your peace, Lord, into each one of these lives that cannot sleep right now, Lord. We receive your peace. Lord, it's a risk because we're afraid, but we open up, Lord. We open up our hearts. We receive. We receive you, God. Walk into our lives. Walk into our nights, Lord. Walk into those hours, Lord. Come, Jesus. We're not going to resist you. We're not going to say we can make it in ourselves anymore. Come, Jesus. There's somebody here with kidney problems. You've been struggling. You've got pain in your kidneys. Where are you? God wants to heal you right now. Just lift up your hand quickly. While every eye is closed, we're not putting anybody. There's somebody here at your back. There's right here in your lower back. Maybe you don't know it's kidney problems, but the Lord showed me it's like your kidney stuff. There's also somebody with skin problems that God wants to heal. Will you quickly just raise your hand right where you're standing? I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask you if you want to be bold enough, will you come quickly to the front? Because we want to anoint you. Philip, can we get some oil quickly? Now, the rest, as we're going to pray, the Holy Spirit is in this place. All you need to do, don't listen to me. God is going to awaken you when He speaks to you right now. But I want you to open up your heart to Jesus right now. You just talk to Him. Don't think about the person on your left. Don't think about the person on your right. You just start to talk. Invite Him right now. Invite Him into that area of your life, that place of vulnerability. Just say to Him, God, I come to bring You my goodness. I come to bring You my trying and my standard. I've come to bring, Lord, I come to surrender. I come to give You what I cannot. Lord, just be honest. Be honest. Be raw honest with Jesus tonight. Hallelujah, God. There's some people with high blood pressure. If you want to pray for that specifically and problems with your heart, there's a man here that has got problems with your heart. You've gone to the doctor before and you need prayer. Will you come quickly? Right, just come to the front. We're going to anoint you because Jesus is the healer here. He wants to heal you tonight. Just come quickly. Come stand right in front. Don't be shy. Jesus died for us so that our sickness can also be healed. Right now, Lord, you just talk to God as we anoint these people. Jesus, as we're laying our hands on them, you come and lay your hands on these bodies. Lord, you have died so that they can be risen, so that they can live. We speak life now in Jesus' name. I speak life. Speak life, Lord. I speak life. Speak life, Lord. Speak life. You just receive from Jesus. You just receive from Jesus. Lord, thank you right now. Thank you right now, Lord. Thank you right now, Lord. You just receive from Him. See Him as the one who stands in front of you. Lord, thank you right now. Thank you, Lord, for your healing in this body. Thank you for your healing, Lord. Thank you for your healing. There's somebody with stomach ulcers here tonight. The Lord wants to heal you. There are three people here with broken families. Even in this last week, there's been intense stuff that's been happening in your families. The Lord has just showed me. And there's no peace in your family. We also come right to the front. I don't know what it's exactly about, but there's somebody's family that's on the verge of divorce. Your parents are on the verge of divorce. Where is that person? I want to pray for you specifically. There's three people that there's tense stuff, eruptions in your family. Sorry. There's somebody else. The Lord showed me specifically there are three people here. There's somebody else. Remember, if we open up our hearts, we receive. I'm not going to put pressure on you, but when you receive from Jesus, when He shows us stuff, then we just respond. Amen? Because He's given us the ability to do. Is that you? Hallelujah. Just come quickly. Come and stand right here. We're going to agree with you. Can we get some of the district leaders, some of the leaders just to come in? Lord, Father, I sense there's so much confusion over this life, over this family. Lord, there's been a fighting to and fro. There's lots of fighting, Lord. And Lord, she just wants to run away, Lord. But right now, Jesus, bring your peace into the situation like only you can do, God. Bring your peace, Jesus. No more struggling, God. No more striving. No more. No more, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We can receive from you. We speak life into this family. We speak life, Lord, into this fighting, Lord. It's like at the place, Lord, where she just wants to give up, Lord. She wants to, Lord, she just has but no more strength. But tonight you have revealed and you show, because you also make provision. But we want to thank you for your release. To thank you for your release, God. No more shame. No more shame over them, Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, it's not their fault. But tonight we put our faith out for these wonderful, precious people, God. put our faith up. If you want to pray for these families quickly, just a moment. Lord, we break the curse of divorce. We break the vision of divorce. We break the lies and the accusations. And we release over them, Lord, the ability of your beauty and of your standards and of your holiness, Father. And we ask that you will intervene, Jesus, like only you can, Lord. Like only you can. Will you just pray with them quickly as we're going to just continue? Can we just sing that chorus quickly, Ben? I want us just to respond to Jesus. The meeting has just started, so we're just going to respond to Jesus. And just open up your heart. Don't run away. I really feel we must just spend a while just worshiping God. Just open up your heart. Bring your greatest fear to Him. Jesus groups here. The first group is you're a Christian. You're a good Christian. But you're tired. Tired of striving and of trying to meet the standards that you know God has for your life. Because you feel like you're on this side and then the purposes of God is so far out there. And every time you run in circles, you're just like the Israelites in the wilderness because you're trying so hard. And God is asking you specifically just to surrender to Him tonight. Give Him your performance. Give Him your abilities. Give Him your good stuff tonight. Then there's also a group. Maybe you've never been saved. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Always gone to church. Maybe you're a bad person. And you need to bring your heart to Jesus. You need to say, Jesus, come and save me. I want to be born again. You're part of the second group. You're the most important group here tonight because you're going to step into eternity. And as we're still praying for people and as we're going to worship people, I want you to step out. I want you to come and meet Pastor Heinrich right here in front. Because we want to pray specifically for you and for Pastor Philip. If there's anybody like that, you're not sure of your salvation, then you need to receive Jesus as your Savior tonight. Maybe you've made commitments before, but you need to come out tonight. You need to surrender everything. You need to say, Jesus, here I am. I give you my life. And it's the most amazing place where you step into eternity because He walks into your heart. Hallelujah. That's you. When we're going to start to worship, don't go out of this place without meeting with Jesus. But I want you to specifically to come to the front. Then there's also that first group that I mentioned. If you need prayer tonight because you are a Christian, but you are so discouraged and you are so tired of striving and performing, you also actually need to get saved again tonight, like I did for the last couple of months, where the grace of God is all over you. And you can just feel that first love of Jesus. Just being in love with Jesus again. Because stuff has become so complicated in your life. You're a great Christian and God is not condemning you or putting guilt. But you just need to come and surrender like as if you do it for the first time again, then I want you to come and stand on this side because we want to pray with you. Where you can just say, God, I receive all of you, Jesus. Not little, all of you, God. I want to receive everything. God, I've been discouraged, tired. There's some people here that are afraid. You are so afraid of what it's going to mean when you really surrender. And tonight, you're going to deny yourself. You're going to take up your cross, which is His yoke, which is easy. Because you come into the grace of God. You come into the provision of Jesus Christ. And especially if you're here tonight, and you've been hurt. There's a deep hurt, a deep wound inside of you. But it's difficult for you to receive tonight. You know what? We want to pray for you as well. I'm a pastor, and I had to pray that prayer 6 months ago. Because I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm trying too hard, but here I am, Jesus. I want to receive again, so that I can give from an overflow of life. You can just come right to the front, because we're going to anoint, we're going to take some time, we're going to anoint all of you, we're going to pray for you. Not necessarily going to have a word for you, maybe God is going to speak something in your life. But we're going to pray a prayer of the freshness of the fragrance of Jesus Christ over your life. I know some people are checking, who's going to the front? Let me tell you, I'm standing here again tonight. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah, Jesus. We've come to receive from you tonight. Let's just worship. Let's just sing that song as we're going to pray for people. If you need prayer, even physical prayer for your physical body, come right to the front.
To the sky and say, you're beautiful.